Somebody trying to get in the door back there, let them in. Something's wrong with that door, and it's been sticking. And the last thing you want at the Grace Church is a locked door. It's hard enough to get to folks here, much less not let them in once they make it. So we always want to be the church of the open door. All right, if you would this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk to you today about walking by faith. And I want to start in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 has been called by many the Hall of Faith, in that there are many Bible people that are listed there in reference to their faith. For example, he says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice, and by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. By faith Abraham. And so he lists all of these people. But what I want to look at this morning primarily are the first couple of three verses there in Hebrews in relation to faith and really a definition of faith. One of the few places in the Bible where faith is really defined. And the writer of Hebrews, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now those two statements would almost seem to be contradictory, because substance has to do with something that you can see, touch, feel, or experience. A substance. Evidence generally are things that can be seen. And yet God Almighty, through the writer of this book, defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, that is, things that are not seen, and the evidence of things not seen. So how could there be evidence of things not seen? It kind of reminds me of the verse over there where Paul talks about while we look at the things which are not seen. Well, how could you look at things that are not seen? Well, you would look at things that are not seen through spiritual eyes rather than through fleshly eyes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, that's a wonderful description of faith, because it has to do with the fact that faith is all about things that are not physically seen, but are spiritually discernible. And so I want us to think about that. As a matter of fact, before we go further, go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 22, the Bible says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now notice, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So hope and faith both are based upon things that are spiritually discernible but not seen with the eye. Nobody in our generations have ever seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody has ever seen God in a visible form. And nobody's ever heard in our day the voice of God other than through the Word of God. And yet the Bible says that by faith these people did certain things. And faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now there's a couple of things about that I want you to notice. Back in Hebrews 11:3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In verse 17. Where does faith come from? What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it was through faith we can understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. In other words, God literally spoke the world into existence. And I know that with all that science puts out there and all that humanists put out, all the humanist doctrines and so forth put out there, many times people wonder about the earth and all the things that are that go on there, and how could things be as bad as they are if God was in control? Well, we read there in Romans chapter 8 the explanation for all of that. We know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. The world is under a sin curse. That sin curse will not be removed until the Lord Jesus Christ Himself returns to the planet Earth and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. The presence of God Almighty upon this earth right now is through the church, the body of Christ. We are able ministers of Christ. We are the presence of God, the Holy Spirit being within us. We walk by faith, the Bible says, and so we want to know, where does faith come from? Well, in Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now think about this, the Word of God. God spoke the world into existence. And in Hebrews chapter 3, we read that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Well then, how did Abel know what sacrifice to offer? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. God Almighty had apparently spoken to Adam, or directly to Abel, but either way, he knew what to do by the Word of God. By faith, Enoch was translated. By faith, Noah being what? Warned of God. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out. You see, the Word of God is always involved where it comes to faith. And our faith is in God Almighty. And if our faith is in God, then our faith must be in His Word. I'm always amused at people that talk about there is no book that is the Word of God. We don't have the Word of God, and yet they seem to believe in God. Well, I want to know what perception would anybody have of God if there was no Word of God? The idea of God itself had to come through the Bible, and yet people deny it, that claim to believe God. You can't separate the two. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the words, the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. You get to 2 Corinthians 5, just back up about 3 verses to chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," that's what you can see, "yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." Sounds like just what we read in Hebrews, doesn't it? The evidence of things not seen. How do we look at through things that are not seen? Through the eyes of faith. And so he says, "We look not to things which are seen, but things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." They're fleshly, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. They're going to last forever. Continue chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house, that which we can see, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. You hadn't seen that one yet. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Romans 8, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain and now. Being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Now here's the verse, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Whenever we begin to walk by sight, when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to spiritual things, then we're going to be misled and in trouble. Faith is not based upon what we can see with our physical eyes. Now, I know that much of the religious world today has propagated that idea because most of religion, not all, but much of religion today centers around that which you can see and feel and touch and experience. You ever wonder why it is that if a man comes on TV and has the power to hit somebody in the forehead and they fall out and next one comes up, you know, they're healed, and usually if something they didn't know they had or something that, you know, everybody in the congregation had. I always, you know, got fascinated years ago watching these programs. And these super spiritual giants up there with this word from God, they would say, listen folks, the Lord has spoke to me. And I know that there's somebody out there this morning with back problems. I'd say it'd be pretty easy. I bet you there's, as small as this congregation is right now, I bet you there's at least 10 people out there with back problems. And so I've had a word from the Lord. You see, I'm a prophet because I know some of you have back problems. Some of you have feet problems. And we won't go any further than that. But, I mean, come on. What is it that draws people? What they can see, what they can experience. That's why those things are so successful. You ever notice that a man comes on TV and opens the Bible and starts preaching the Word of God, how big his audience is? No, it's all about what you can experience. It's about what God's going to give you if you're faithful and the prosperity God. It's all about stuff that is seen. But the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. We don't function on the basis of what we see. We don't continue to have church based on the size of the crowd. We don't perform our ministry on the basis of the results that we're seeing take place. We walk by faith, not by sight. That's what Paul is talking about there. He said in verse 8, we are confident. I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. That is, our works might be acceptable, might be accepted of Him. Now, I want to look at this really in just two areas. And that is, number one, salvation. We walk by faith, not by sight. And then in our life, on a daily basis, how we are to apply the Word of God so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Look in Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, I know that today there's this idea going around among some preachers that you've got to know a certain amount of information in order to get saved. And when I say a certain amount of information, I'm talking about going beyond the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4 says how that Christ died for our sins. He said, this is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what I believed when I got saved. I believe that Christ... Now, you understand that there's a difference in believing historically the facts and believing that unto salvation. Because to believe it unto salvation is to trust in the fact that Christ died for our sins. Now, I want to ask you something. And you don't have to raise your hand, or maybe we should. How many of you, when you got saved, really knew that it was the faith of Christ that saved you? I had never even heard that phrase as far as I could remember. But later on, I heard a man preach on Galatians 2:16, also Romans chapter 3, verse 22, other places where the faith of Christ is talked about. You see, it's not just our faith that saves us. The Bible says a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And the Bible did not say there by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And it didn't say that you're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. It is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? That shows you the importance of faith. Jesus Christ Himself demonstrated faith in God the Father when He went to the cross and died on that cross. Jesus Christ stepped down into a body of flesh and He became man. We read about that all the time over in Philippians. Look over in Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I want you to go back in your Bibles to John chapter 17. John 17. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Now keep in mind, this is Jesus Christ praying to the Father. Say, well, wasn't Jesus Christ God? Jesus Christ was God manifest in the body of flesh. But it is evident that Jesus Christ, over and over again, particularly in the book of John, talks about doing the will of the Father. So in his body of flesh, he submitted to the will of God and prays to the Father to glorify him, that he might glorify the Lord, or glorify God. Let's look again there in verse 2. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I'll tell you what, folks, every time I read those verses, as the saying goes, I'm just kind of blown away. That here is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says the creator of all things, according to Colossians chapter 1. And yet he willingly steps down from heaven's glory into a body of flesh. And I believe in that body of flesh, he willingly gave up some of the, or not gave up, but willingly chose not to exercise the power of knowing all things. He said to one group of people, when they asked him about the second coming, he said, no man knoweth, not even the Son of Man. Now don't go away and say he don't believe in the deity of Christ. I do believe in the deity of Christ. I believe that God, Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. But I know that Jesus Christ, if you want to put it this way, walked by faith. He walked by faith in the Father, the one he called Father, and said that he was his servant. Just a couple of verses. Look in chapter 17. Look over in chapter 19, John chapter 19. In John 19, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Why did he say that? That the Scripture might be fulfilled. You see, what Christ did was a fulfillment of prophecy. Go back, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We'll come back to chapter 17 in a moment. John chapter 4. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. In John chapter 5, in verse 30, I can of mine own self do nothing. Wait a minute, we're talking about God manifest in the flesh. Now these are red letters, folks. These are the words of Jesus. And he said, I can of mine own self do nothing as I hear, reckon what he heard, the voice of his Father. I judge and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Look over in John 6. John 6. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And then back in John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I believe there's great significance when the Bible says we're saved by the faith of Christ. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Jesus Christ identified himself so totally with mankind that he exercised and demonstrated faith in God the Father to raise him from the dead. And you know, what's interesting to me is over there in Matthew 26, when Jesus Christ is there in the garden, couple of things about that just fascinate me. He asked his disciples to tarry with him for a short time. You know what they do? They fall asleep. They were really concerned, weren't they? But Jesus Christ, the Bible said, blood, drops of blood and tears. And he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went there to the cross and ultimately cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there was darkness upon the earth. God forsook his Son because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him to be sin for us. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. How much do you have to know to get saved? You have to know that Jesus Christ died for your sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried and was raised again the third day. There are many wonderful truths about justification and about the faith of Christ and all those other things that come afterwards. After all, Paul did say, it is God's will that all men come to the knowledge of the truth so they can be saved? No. It is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Don't get those turned around. Don't get them backwards. Once a person is saved, they're quickened by the Spirit of God. And the Bible says, no man knoweth the things of God, but by the Spirit of God that dwells in him. So if you're not saved today, it's not a matter of we're going to give an invitation and saying 10 verses of just as I am, and on the 8th one you can come down and kneel at the altar and get saved. It's not a matter of you repeating exactly the right words and saying the sinner's prayer or following the Romans roadmap. And I'm not trying to just be disrespectful of those kind of things and people say those things, folks, but I want you to understand that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. And if this morning you place your faith and trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins. Got an email recently. Fella made a post on Facebook, and this man wrote me a message and said, see, this fella believes the gospel. You think he's saved? Well, what he's referring to, the man said he believed that Christ died for his sins, but he knew that he had to do certain things in order to be accepted of God. So I wrote the man back. I said, the man does not believe Christ died for his sins. I said, if the man believed Christ died for his sins, he would not believe that he had to do any work. You see the difference? See what I'm talking about, folks? If you really believe it, then you understand Christ died for your sins. And if he died for your sins, then there's nothing you can do. That's how simple it is. A person can quote 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 all their life and die and go to hell. I preached it for years before I got saved. But there was a day I trusted in what Christ did. I really believed it that day. Bible belief. And God saved me. And that's exactly what I wrote back to that man. I mean, a person can say they believe it all they want to, but a person that is continuing to try to do things in their flesh to please God does not really believe Christ died for their sins. They might believe he died on a cross and paid for some of them, but now they've got to do their part. That's not the same as believing Christ died for our sins. Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. The faith element is trusting in what Christ did, plus nothing. But there's also the faith that's involved with us coming to the knowledge of the truth and acting upon that which we know. Look in John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Now, I just wanted to read particularly there verse 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command of you. I know people, we go to the Gospels and we understand and realize that these are for the nation Israel. But I just want to use that phrase to make an application. Because regardless of how much people want to kick against it, fight against it, or reject it, we have some commandments in the dispensation of the grace of God, whether you want to acknowledge them or not. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, in verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You see, even though we might not be under the commandments that Christ spoke in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that is kingdom doctrine, that does not exclude us from the truth of God's Word written to us through our apostle who preached unto us the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, told us how to get saved, and then said it was God's will that we also come to the knowledge of the truth, and then God wrote down in His Word the words of the Apostle Paul, or the words of God through the Apostle Paul, I should say, so that we could know what God desires of us. And Paul calls them commandments. An interesting thing is that I quote that verse a lot and read it a lot, but the next verse says volumes. Look in verse 38. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Somebody has said the largest denomination in the world are the ignorant brethren that Paul addresses. I would not have you ignorant brethren. Ignorance. I'm not saying that in a disparaging way. Come on, folks. Anybody that's not willing to read and study the Word of God is going to be ignorant of the Word of God. They might most be the most intelligent person in the world. How many times have you ever tried to have a conversation with somebody and you begin to share scripture with them and their response is, well, I can't argue with you, I just don't know as much as you do. Well, then why are you arguing with them? It's like, I mean, you hire an architect to draw plans for your house, or you hire somebody. I mean, can you imagine you hire somebody to come out and work on your central gas and unit? And they're working away, and you come out and you say, I'm not sure you're doing that right. How long do you think that guy'd stay? So I tell you what, then you just do it. You know what'd be happening? You'd be cold. But you wouldn't have any heat. Man says, well, you need this, this, and this. Well, I'm not going to argue with you because you just know more than I do. Well, he does. You know why? Because he studied. He's prepared. You, as a saved individual, are to be a minister and a good steward of the mysteries of God. Therefore, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed. And you know, you don't have to know all the answers. Listen, folks, if you just know a few scriptures, you're going to know more than most people that you talk to, because people generally today don't really study the Bible. Telling somebody the other day, we were in a restaurant, and me and another brother, and had the Bible out. And interestingly enough, there was three other groups of men in that restaurant that were having Bible discussions. The difference was they didn't have any Bibles. They had books, like doing book reviews. Well, there's nothing wrong with books. But come on, if you want to know what God says, you're not going to get it out of a book other than the Bible. This is God's Word. And He said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People say, well, I just don't have any faith. Well, how much time have you spent in God's Word? You see, God desires for us to know Him. Paul said that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. God Almighty speaks to us by His Word. It's not some still, small voice in the back of your head telling you what you want. You know when you hear that still, small voice talking to you and telling you what to do? You know who that is? That's you. That's you. And usually what that still, small voice in the back of your head is telling you to do, most of the time, is going to be contrary to the Word of God. Unless you have hidden His Word in your heart and you function on the basis of the Word. Look back in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith has to do with what we believe. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah moved with fear and built an ark. By faith, by the faith of Christ, we have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith in what He did for us at Calvary. But we also walk by faith, or we are to walk by faith on a daily basis. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that says an awful lot right there. And verse 2 tells us what you have to do in order to be able to do verse 1. I mean, Paul doesn't just leave us out in the cold. He says, I beseech you. The word beseech is like beg. I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why is Paul having to beg these people? Well, probably because of what we read back in Romans chapter 6. In Romans 6, verse 1, Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, there must have been an issue then at Rome about people believing that they could just live in sin because grace abounds. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, he said. I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The illustration I've used so many times, heard it years ago, is that when you reach the point when you get saved, let's say you're 20 years old, 25 years old, whenever it might be, 60 years old, whatever it is, whenever you get saved, up until that time, you have filed away one thought after another in the file cabinet of your mind. Much of it is just junk. There's probably a lot of religious stuff up there that you heard through the years, and it got filed away. And when you hear about situations, it's like somebody wrote on Facebook the other day a while back, and he said, I know there's a reason for everything, but sometimes it's just hard to understand. And I wrote back, I said, sometimes there is no reason for something other than the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world. You see, that idea there's a reason for everything and God's doing it, it's just simply a religious idea that got filed away in people's minds. Superstition. You realize how much superstition is involved in religion today? God just directed that meteorite away from the United States of America and sent it over there to them filthy, dirty Russians. Come on, folks. God wasn't steering the meteorite. It's called nature. Hurricanes, tornadoes, meteorites. I know people have these thoughts, and they're thoughts that have been filed away. But when we get saved, we have to make room in that file cabinet of our mind to start throwing out some of that junk and filling it up with the Word of God. That's how the mind is renewed day by day by day. I'm not saying you ought to get your Bible and sit down in the morning and read 7 or 8 hours. But there needs to be time in your life when you study the Word of God, you listen to it taught, you read and you study the Word of God, and you do it on the basis of how God told you to do it. That is, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're new to this, you've only been saved recently, start reading in Romans and read Romans through Philemon about 3 or 4 times. And then go outside of that. You know why? Because Paul told Timothy, consider what I say and the Lord give the understanding in all things. Paul said he was the apostle of the Gentiles. He magnified his office. He said he was given the dispensation of the grace of God. He was given the gospel, the grace of God. He is the apostle. He is our apostle. And so we are to take heed to what God says to us through His Word. And all of that stuff that got put in our mind. I can't tell you, folks, how many times In the first 4 or 5 years of preaching here in my ministry, I would read a scripture and I would interpret it on the basis of what I had been taught about that scripture, rather than just letting it say what it says. Pay attention to who it's written to, who said it, and what dispensation it's to be applied to. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be not conformed to this world. I think that verse goes far beyond what most people think about. He's not talking about don't be conformed to the people going down there and drinking on Saturday night and going here and doing this and watching movies. No, don't be conformed to the religion of this world that has taught a lie and taught people that they have to do something in order to be saved. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. After all, he said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you've been risen with Christ, then you are seated with him there at the right hand of God. Therefore, set your affection on things above. Let your mind be renewed. It's then and only then that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Don't walk on the basis of what you see and hear and experience. Count it true if God said it, and depend upon it and stand upon it. When Paul said over there, when God said through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that my grace is sufficient for you, you know what? You can walk by faith. You can claim that truth, that God's grace is sufficient. I know things get hard, things get bad, things get difficult. We get discouraged, despondent, upset. Sometimes feel like we're going out of our mind. Walk by faith, not by sight. Be renewed. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One other verse, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Colossians 1:9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, talking about their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see, salvation is an instantaneous transaction that takes place. Increasing in knowledge is not. You didn't get everything God wants you to know by some supernatural baptism of the Spirit when you got saved. That's why the Bible says to study. Paul said, since the day we heard of it, your faith, we prayed for you, and we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. How are you filled with the knowledge of His will? By the Word of God. Why? Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Would you stand with me for prayer?